Bandwidth for the iPhone LE podcast is provided by CacheFly at cacheFly.com. This is the iPhone LE podcast, episode 28 for November 10th, 2008. Panning for gold. So it is time for the iPhone LE podcast. I'm Michael Johnston, and with me tonight from the Typical Mac User podcast is Victor Cahiao. Hello, Victor.
Hey, nice to be back.
Great to have you, and this is going to be an actual long show that we're going to put out with you today. So it's not going to be the condensed We Lost Everything version. It's good to have you on for a full version. And also from the macOS Ken podcast, Ken Ray is here. Hello, Ken.
Hello, Michael. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. It's snowing here.
It's snowing. Well, it was snowing here yesterday, but yes, it's very cold.
Yeah. I'm very excited. I mean, this is one of the things everybody in San Francisco, when I moved, said, oh, it snows there. And I said, yeah. So I'm kind of stoked.
Isn't that where they make the snow for the rest of the country? Yeah, Buffalo? I think so.
I think it may be. Yeah, that replaced whatever the industry was that was here before.
Absolutely. That and beer drinking, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
And also, from iProng magazine, Bill Palmer's here. Hello, Bill.
Hey, you know, it's also snowing here in Los Angeles.
You lie like a dog.
I know.
Well, they can make fake snow in Los Angeles.
Well, you know, I just got to put this out there. Drew Barrymore hugged me last night, so it might as well be snowing, and nothing's going to get me down right now. So let's have a good show.
Well, you're the coolest guy here, then, because we didn't get any hugs from famous people recently.
So when we're off air, I'll tell you the circumstances under which she hugged me. It'll sound much less cool.
Okay. All right, and I'm just going to throw this out here. I have someone else here with me in the I guess I call it the pod cave. My friend Pilot Omar, we're calling him. So, hello, Pilot Omar.
Hey, Michael. I can't tell you anything about the weather because you live here too.
Yeah, and so there's that. If you get the reference, then you've probably already laughed. And if not, you're very confused. So we'll move on. So. Moving on to actual news, we don't have a lot to talk about tonight, so hopefully we'll just get long-winded and, you know, run off into tangents. The coolest thing that came out this week is the more screenshots of the 2.2 beta software. Apparently, Apple activated, they flipped the big switch, and now on the 2.2 beta, there's an actual podcast directory in the iTunes application. As well as, you know, the other stuff as far as being able to download new episodes of podcasts that you've already got. That also works, too. So I'm ecstatic. I love this idea. I didn't think that, you know, we saw the screenshots a little while ago of, you know, just being able to get more episodes for current podcasts that you already have. But, you know, I didn't think that we'd be able to actually access the podcast directory from our iPhone, and that's just fantastic. So not only audio podcasts, but also video. So what do you guys think of this? Are you guys excited? I know most of us are podcasters. I think we're all podcasters.
I think it's great because it's another place that I have to worry about now. Like, how am I showing up there? You know, my iPhone used to be my respite. I could check the rest of the world, you know. And not go obsessively to iTunes every 5 minutes. So it's kind of cool for me because really I don't want any sleep or to ever have a moment's peace.
Well, hopefully it works pretty well as far as you know, just like, you know, what you have there already. I'm sure it'll just work. But I'm sure, you know, Apple, because they are Apple, will have some sort of, like, if you want to, you know, stand out more on the iPhone, you can have a, you know, a cool background or something like that. I don't know. But
I'm hoping they actually don't do that. I mean, really, I was joking about how I feel about it. If they do it roughly the same way they do the iTunes store right now, it's going to stand most everybody on this conversation in pretty good stead. I mean, I've said before how grateful I am. And if there are any iTunes people listening, I'm really grateful for, you know, for the feature in the technology news section. I know you and Victor, Michael, both have, you know, decent prominence in the technology section as well. So if it's stuff like that, you know, then yay. And plus being able to listen, you know, when you're out. I mean, there have been times when I haven't synced my iPhone in a couple of days. So I'd like the latest edition of something.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm looking at it and, you know, you can look at, you know, what's hot, the top tens and of course the categories. So you can, I'm thinking you can drill down pretty well if you can, you know, you want to browse around, but I'm assuming that the search that's already built into the app will also, you know, let you search through the stores, you know, as far as podcasts go too. So
now if they limit it to top tens, which, you know, is certainly feasible because of the size of the screen.
Right.
That's one thing that I think is going to stink. And I'm not just talking about, I mean, I won't talk about us. I'll talk about anybody who's had some trouble getting discovered. I mean, the cool thing about all of our placement in the iTunes store is, you know, people get to see us. But, I mean, if it only limits it to 10, then, well, I mean, you've got the 10 Leo Laporte episodes.
Right, yeah. All of his podcasts, and that's it.
Right. I mean, that's, you know, go for it, Victor. Sorry.
No, I was going to say, first of all, I'm super grateful to you, Silken. I'm right with you on that. A couple of things that come to mind, though, is, you know, if we mix this with the, again, rumor, because it's, I don't have the beta, so I don't know for sure, that if we're limiting some of the ability to download through the iPhone itself to shows that are 10 megabytes or less,
yep.
I think that's the number that I heard.
Yes, it is.
Then I think that one thing I'm concerned about, because I really value the quality of the audio of the show that I produce. It's one of the things I take pride in. And I'm not willing to sacrifice that quality of audio to make my show small enough to float to the top of the bubble of the, you know, just not a compromise I'm willing to make. So I'm concerned a little bit that it might do a haves and haves not mentality. A, people that have shorter shows, Ken, I think you're going to be in great shape.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
People who don't like me, it may be that those shows that get featured on the iPhone are those that qualify, and that we may end up with either people, you know, downgrading the quality of their audio or simply going to shorter shows because they want more of that exposure because the audience is so massive. That's a concern that's real for me. We'll see how real it is when it really gets you.
Yeah.
Well, you could do the whole thing, though. That, I mean, we could take a cue from the video podcasters. I mean, they're those people who put out, I mean, what's that one? What's the one? Oh, come on. You know the one I'm talking about.
I think there are a couple video podcasts.
Ask a Ninja.
Well, no, I'm thinking about the ones up at the top. I can't even think of the name of it. It's really stupid. I was kidding at first, and now I can't. But they basically got four versions of their show. They've got an HD, they've got a high quality, they've got a middle quality, and they've got an iPod version.
Well, a lot of Rev 3 shows do that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I know it's one of theirs that I'm thinking of. So you could, I mean, you could see audio podcasters, if that becomes an issue. And again, without having seen it, there's no way for us to know.
Right. It's pure speculation.
Yeah.
But I mean, you could see two versions of the typical Mac user podcast. One, you know, the regular high quality that we all love so much, and then the iPhone version.
Yeah, and then you know you'd also have the, you know, the iPhone LA podcast that's, you know, sped up as fast as possible, and totally compressed.
Right.
But you're going to say something, Victor?
No. That's a good point that Ken made there. I until we see it, we won't know. But the 10 megabyte seems to me a little bit limiting in size. Unless we want to hear, you know, that 1920s radio sound that we came to love so much.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Well, to be clear, and I know you know this, but, you know, for everyone else listening, the 10 megabyte limit is only imposed if you're on the cellular network. If you're over Wi-Fi, you can go ahead and download that. And I think as far as I'm looking, you know, as far as, you know, what I can see from these screenshots, I think it's going to work the same way as the App Store does, regardless of the size of the application or, you know, or podcast or what have you. I think it's going to list that regardless if you're on the cellular or on the Wi-Fi network. I don't think they're going to, you know, have different, you know, sizes or whatever float up to the top more often than the larger sizes. I think it's just going to say, you're going to have to wait. You know, we'll throw this in your queue, but, you know, the next time you get on Wi-Fi, we'll let you download that. So I'm looking at the screenshot. There is a video podcast right at the top. You know, so, you know, obviously this is turned on and live and Apple's testing it, but I think that also they're just going to let everything on there. And I don't think they're going to, you know, not put a podcast in the featured section. If it's a certain size, because they really do like the video podcasts, you know, that it seems like they've been featuring more often than the audio podcasts actually in iTunes. So I don't think that's going to be a big issue.
It'll be fun no matter what.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I just realized something that, you know, because this is in the iTunes application, And you're actually, I mean, you have access to the iTunes app right now, at least to the podcast section. It'll be interesting to see if they actually, you know, not disable the ability to go into like the featured and the top tens for the iTunes app. But, you know, from what it looks like, we're going to be able to surf the iTunes store now over the 3G network, which I'm very excited about. Because, you know, I don't usually buy songs. You know, I don't really have the need or want to just ad hoc buy a song wherever I am. But I do like the ability to just go through and find a song and take a sample of it. You know, if I'm thinking of, I'm just looking around. It's a great thing to have on your phone, and it's a bummer to not be able to do that over the 3G network. So that's something that I'm looking forward to, aside from the podcast thing, because I just realized, you know, I'm going to be able to, if I'm talking to someone, hey, you should check out this podcast, and I'll be able to just check it out right there, because, you know, my scatterbrain, I would totally forget about it anyway. So that's a good thing too.
Yeah, you know, it would be really nice, and it's clearly speculation, if we could put up a sampler podcast that would say, you know, here's a less than 10 meg file that you can sample what this show is about and just download that.
Yeah, you could do that too, definitely. Okay, so moving on, do we want to talk about Tony Fadell stepping down from Apple? He's the VP of Apple's iPod division, and he is leaving and supposedly being replaced by someone from IBM. And we're not, I don't think we should get into the whole IBM thing as far as the guy who is supposedly replacing him. It has a no competition contract with IBM right now, so he's not actually being able to take over for that position. But Bill, I want to direct this question to you, because you're really big into the iPod, and that's what you really follow. Do you think that Tony Fadell leaving is going to have a big impact on this, on the iPod and all that?
Probably not, because it's been 7 or 8 years. I mean, the thing I like about Apple in this decade is that they, first of all, when they realize they don't have the best idea or product in-house, they go get it, whether it's the iPod they brought in, the iTunes was an external product, Final Cut, whatever. So not only did they basically bought the iPod from Tony Fadell, they bought Tony Fadell, too. They brought him in to be a part of that, just the same way they brought in Brian Robbins with iTunes. I think that's the key, that in the early years when this was still somebody else's vision, they had Tony Fadell there. Now at this point, I think the iPod is so much part of Apple's DNA that if he's leaving, it's like, okay, fine. You know, he's already made his stamp on the product, and if he's going to go, I do find it interesting that so many Apple execs seem to only last like 7 years, or Tony Fadell, John Rubinstein, or whoever it is. So I wonder, maybe Steve Jobs really does run these guys into the ground and really, you know, burn them out. But at this point, I think the iPod is so much an Apple product that it doesn't matter that the original creator is retiring.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And as far as, you know, employees leaving Apple, as far as I've ever heard from anyone who's ever actually worked at Apple, it's generally like a 7 to 10 year thing. And, you know, there aren't many people who actually stay there for 40 years or whatever.
I think talking about Mike Papermaster really quickly, though, is, I mean, it's worth doing for a moment or two. Mm-hmm. I'm really curious what they have in mind. I mean, Jobs said that they bought PA Semi back in April. Well, they didn't say this when they bought it, but he said like a month or two later that what PA Semi was going to be doing was building system on a chips for the iPhone and the iPod. And then they go and they hire somebody from IBM to do that. IBM seems to be under the impression that they are still competing with Apple.
Yeah.
And they're in different environments unless there's something coming that we're missing. And so that makes it kind of fascinating to me. And are they really going to make him sit on the sidelines for a year is another question that I have. But that trial, I think, or that hearing is 2 weeks from Tuesday. So, I mean, we should know more about it in fairly short order.
Yeah, and it is interesting to talk about that guy, because his, do you know what his background is at IBM?
I wish I did. I'm sorry. Anybody else?
No.
Okay, good.
But okay, so the PA Semi thing is really the only connection we have as far as Apple to IBM at this point, because PA Semi, you know, makes the PowerPC chips, and that's, you know, like you said, Apple bought PA Semi supposedly for to make processors and chips for the iPod and the iPhone. Right. So, you know, who knows what, you know, if he has any connection at all to the power architecture at all.
The one nexus here, and if I'm remembering right, I am using my memory here, is that, you know, both IBM and PA Semi were the makers of PowerPC chips. So what they have in common is some of that code base.
Right.
And, you know, so the assumption is that there is some intellectual property that is going to be crossing over the lines there, you know, maybe because of what he did for IBM, and that there was a nexus, a connection between IBM and PA Semi. So, and there's a lot of speculation there, but there's got to be a tie-in there, a business or technology-wise,
right,
for to, you know, handpick him. Especially, maybe I'm stating the obvious, but that's what it seems like to me.
Yeah, especially if he's taking the spot of Tony Fadell.
Unless IBM just wants to screw with Apple for some reason.
Well, I was just going to say Apple and IBM didn't have the greatest parting of ways over the G5 debacle, and you think companies that big, powerful, and rich wouldn't be that petty, but you see that stuff all the time where IBM, let's just screw with Apple and make it difficult for them to remind them that they shouldn't have, whatever, you know, moved to Intel.
Or perhaps, you know, send the message to the rest of their employees. I mean, because certainly Papermaster wasn't the only one to sign a non-compete. Now, there was some article that I read a couple weeks ago, that said that non-compete clauses are usually not worth the paper that they're printed on. But if you get somebody to go along with it, then suddenly you have sent a pretty powerful message, not only to this guy who's going to Apple, which for all intents and purposes, at least as far as anybody can see right now, doesn't really compete with IBM anymore. Mm-hmm. This does, you know, help them out as far as anybody who might go to, I don't know, who else? Oracle, HP, Sun. I mean, I can't think of who exactly competes with IBM right now, because honestly, I don't have a clear idea of what IBM does anymore. Although I know they do a lot of important things, and I'm sure we're grateful that they're here. This might not just be about Apple and Papermaster. This could also be about making sure that they don't get hit with any kind of serious brain drain.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I think IBM is just there to be important at this point. Maybe if we used Windows, maybe if we used Windows, well, we would actually know what we're talking about as far as IBM. Because
if we take a step back, IBM is a huge player in enterprise field when we're talking about mainframes.
Right.
A company like mine, we use them all the time, and IBM is the mainstay of that stuff that's being used today. You know, and so
who would their competition be then?
Certainly not Apple. I think
obviously,
from a perspective, there's nobody that's your competition. They own the market in that world. Yeah. In my point of view.
Yeah.
The more interesting part of the Tony Fadell story for me is that Ken, it was on your show that I heard about the respect that he has from the developers there, you know, and that he was one of those managers, and I've managed developers, so I know that once you get the developers on your side, it's much more than about business. It's that these people are going to be willing to work for you those extra hours, go to that extra mile to make the team and, you know, you, Tony, look good. I think that him leaving may have a bigger impact on the workforce, you know, the code monkeys that are developing that stuff, and that could be, you know, kind of a morale issue that Apple's going to have to deal with because of the absence of Fadell. That's, I think, the more interesting angle for me.
Interesting. Yeah, definitely. Okay, so moving on, I suppose. Let's talk about the video demonstration of an external keyboard for the iPhone. So some genius, you know, little hackers. I think it maybe have just been one genius little hacker who decided to. He didn't like the iPhone's virtual keyboard, so he decided to make an external keyboard for the iPhone. So. You know, this is a jailbreak only thing. So he hacked his iPhone and then I assume wrote some drivers, I guess, to use the dock connector on the iPhone to interface with this small external keyboard that, you know, wherever he got that, it's just an external keyboard. So is this significant? Do you think there's a big need or a want for an external keyboard on the iPhone? I know I've heard a couple people talk about how, you know, 90% of the time, you know, having the keyboard on the iPhone is just fine, and that's not a big deal. But maybe if you're on a longer trip, if you're on like a train or something, and you want to get some serious work done, and you just don't want to lug around your laptop, maybe an external keyboard would be great, because the iPhone can do so much at this point. It's just a matter of, you know, if you're writing stuff, for example, it's not necessarily the quickest thing, you know. And this keyboard that they're showing in the video is a small keyboard, and it's really intended for thumb typing still, but it does show that the the hackers in the you know, the iPhone development hacker world have really progressed to, you know, to the point of writing drivers for the iPhone. So we may see some really cool things coming out of that. What do you guys think? Is this a big deal?
Who's going to carry that thing around? It's like twice the size of the iPhone. It's like a watermelon in your pocket.
Yeah. No, it's
good for geeks.
Yeah.
I mean, really, it's good for people who are inclined to, I think it's only good for people who are inclined to go ahead and hack or jailbreak their iPhone anyway.
Well, I mean,
there's not going to be any kind of landslide, I think, of people going over to it now that they can use what is really still a very tiny keyboard.
But on the other hand, if they would just allow Bluetooth, they would sell a significant amount of keyboards that people might carry in the trunk and use that iPhone as a small net computer.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And Apple, of course, sells, you know, Bluetooth keyboards and that sort of thing. Mice, not that mice would actually work on the iPhone, but I guess the bigger question is, you know, obviously there's one person who thinks that an external keyboard would be a useful thing at least part of the time. Do you think there's going to be a big enough, do you think a lot of people would, you know, enough people that Apple, it would make sense for Apple to actually enable that sort of functionality on the iPhone? Or is it just something that Apple should just do regardless of, you know?
Yes, they should just do it regardless. Why haven't they done it?
Yeah, they've really crippled their Bluetooth. Their Bluetooth doesn't really do anything at all except for the audio. And it doesn't even do the A2DP, which a lot of people on my forums are always quick to point out. So I think that, I mean, there's a lot of stuff. Obviously,
their Bluetooth is a bag of hurt.
I heard that one of the I don't remember what the name of the store is, but one of the stores who play I think it's Mac Merc maybe who sells
it is,
you know, stuff. They're selling is it a bag of hurt? Is it what they're selling?
They're selling a bag of hurt. It's awesome.
It's just a bag that says hurt or something.
No, it says a bag of hurt.
Great. Yeah,
I'd like to see him sell like a bag of William Hurt. Okay, I didn't think that one through. That was worse than I was hoping in many ways. This individual user, though, if I could try to save myself and get back on topic, this individual user, I would just say to him, why don't you seriously consider getting a BlackBerry? You know, if the keyboard is that high up your priority list, wouldn't it make more sense to just kind of go with the phone that's harder to use and less enjoyable but has the keyboard? And then again, you look at the fact that the new BlackBerry has a virtual keyboard like the iPhone. So is it going to go the way – is the physical keyboard going to go the way the Dodo on cell phones anyway?
Well, you got to look at it. I mean, obviously the virtual keyboard has some extreme advantages to it, and that's why Apple went with it to begin with. And that's why I think part of it was that they wanted to assure everybody that, you know, it was – important enough to have it, but they definitely touted, you know, you only have a keyboard when you need it, and the keys change, and we don't have to, you know, add a button to it 6 months later, you know, that kind of thing. It does have extreme advantages to it, but at the same time, you know, having an external keyboard would be great. But how much of a dork would you look like if you're sitting on the train with this full size keyboard on your lap, you know, just kind of, you know, cradling an iPhone as you type on it? You know, I don't know. It would be a good thing to have. I think Apple should enable more, at least through the Bluetooth would be a perfect fit. They wouldn't have to really do anything. It would just be a software update, you know, rather than having some sort of, you know, just a cord or something like that. I think the Bluetooth would be fine for that sort of thing. Of course, I don't know how much battery life that takes up, but, you know, then again, that's always been their excuse for, you know, not putting A2DP and maybe file transfer, that kind of thing. But, you know, of course, extra features in the phone like that take up more battery life. It's just an accepted thing. You turn off your Bluetooth when you're not using it. You know, you're not expecting to get as good a battery life as you do, you know, when you have Bluetooth headset turned on, you know, as you would without it. So I think it's something that consumers are obviously aware of, and it wouldn't be a big problem. And I think that, you know, Apple doesn't actually believe it when they say that it's for battery life. It's either because they've got so much going on that they just don't want to bother with it right now, or that they don't care. So moving on, let's talk about tethering for the iPhone, because this has always been a hot topic ever since NetShare was briefly on the App Store. If you don't know what tethering is, it's just basically sharing your cell phone's internet access with your computer wherever you are. So, you know, turning your phone essentially into, you know, a portable hotspot. According to AT&T's CEO Ralph De La Vega, he's confirmed that AT&T will be offering an official tethering option for the iPhone soon, which sounds great. You know, on the surface, I'm thinking, I wonder how much they're going to start charging extra. You know, we're already paying $30 a month, and that doesn't include, you know, text messaging for those of us who, you know, have the 3G. So we're already spending $30 a month on our 3G connection. I wonder how much they're going to start charging for, you know, for an extra, you know, tethering plan that you probably only use maybe once or twice a month. Currently, AT&T spends, or charges rather, $30 a month for tethering on other phones. So is this a good thing? Do you think we're going to see a lot of people get in the tethering plan? I know I would definitely be interested in it, but I don't think that I would actually pay for it because, you know, I do have NetShare. But what do you guys think? Is this something that you would use, Victor? Do you think would you pay $30 a month?
Michael, I'm afraid I can't comment on this story.
But oh, come on, Victor.
I just realized that. I can't ask you. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Actually, if Michael hadn't asked you first, I was going to say, why don't you take this one, Victor?
Can I?
When they pulled NetShare, right? When they pulled NetShare, didn't we know that this was the reason?
That was what was speculated, definitely. I mean, obviously, okay. if AT&T never had a plan to add tethering to the iPhone, I still think that they would say, hey, Apple, get rid of this, because...
Yeah, probably. You know, but, I mean, once they saw that there was, I mean, huge demand for it, like there was for NetShare for the brief time that it was on there.
Yeah.
I mean, then even if they hadn't been thinking about it, which I feel certain they were on some level, but even if they hadn't been thinking about it, then suddenly they are going to start thinking about it, right?
Right. It's more money, definitely. I mean, assuming that they're going to start charging for it, and I'm betting, you know, because it's AT&T and they're a phone company, they probably will.
The thing that I was unclear on, were they talking about an actual application or were they just talking about a plan for tethering? Is he using terms interchangeably or is this really going to be like an app?
As far as, you know, from what I'm reading on Mac Rumors and, you know, what was on Mobile Crunch, the people who initially got the report, they would be offering a tethering option. So I would assume there would have to be some cooperation from Apple on for that, you know, maybe with a... I think I've heard that, you know, in the 2.2 update, actually, looking at Mac Rumors, they said that they have heard separately that the tethering capability would be built into 2.2. That's what Mac Rumors is saying.
Well, golly, that's pretty soon then.
Yeah.
Huh. Victor, would you like to comment on this more?
Tethering is cool.
That's about all Victor can say. because Victor, I'm not going to say anything, but Victor works for some people who, you know, doesn't want him commenting on it. So that's all I'll say about it.
Just say it. Victor works for the mob.
Forget about it.
Yeah. So I would love to see tethering. I don't want to spend $30 a month on it. I'm going to still use my NetShare. Hopefully they don't start charging me for using NetShare. That would suck. So, you know, there you go. Related to that, there's a new software package, I guess it is. It's just software for Windows. It doesn't work on the Mac, but it's called iModem. And it lets you, because, you know, right now with tethering, all the tethering options that we have, either if you jailbreak your phone or if you just use NetShare, you tether over Wi-Fi. So, you know, that's you have to set up IP addresses and subnet masks and all that geeky stuff, and you have to have your friends set it up. And most of the people that I've spoken with who have NetShare say, oh, yeah, I have NetShare. I've never used it, though. You know, I don't know how to figure it out. So, and you know, to their credit, it definitely is difficult to figure out. It took me, you know, many, many tries back, you know, with the jailbreak version of NetShare, basically, to actually figure out, you know, the careful voodoo that you have to do to make it work. So iModem basically lets you tether over a USB cable instead of with Wi-Fi. So you don't even have to go through a proxy server, which has kept, you know, certain things like FTP, you know, if you have to upload something to your website, for example, and you'd have to set up proxies on your computer. It's a lot of hoops to jump through. So the iModem thing basically lets you just, you know, your computer says, oh, okay, there's a modem right there, and I'm just going to connect to it, and it works, you know, that well. It's a jailbreak-only thing, so you have to jailbreak your phone. But it is interesting, and it does, I mean, there's a lot of demand for the tethering thing. And I think that, you know, obviously that's shown with, you know, NetShare kind of being the most infamous rejected iPhone application. So it'll be good to see that coming from AT&T when it does come, if and when it does come. And so I think going back to what we were talking about earlier as far as, you know, the 2.2 update and, you know, changes possibly coming, there was a German iPhone site called iPhone-ticker.de. They realized that Apple has been changing links to their iTunes store from, you know, phobos.apple.com to itunes.apple.com. And they're guessing that, you know, that combined with a lot of server changes that they've made and as far as, you know, activating that podcast downloading in the iPhone iTunes application, that all these different changes means that Apple is gearing up to release the 2.2 update. And I would say that, you know, just looking at having, you know, them activate the podcast directory in the iTunes application, maybe, you know, definitely looks like they're putting the finishing touches on 2.2. Now, I haven't heard anything back from anybody who has 2.2 beta running on their iPhone. I've only heard about the 2.2 beta 1 as far as performance goes, which was very bad. So I don't know about performance in beta 2. But if beta 2 is getting good, then it's definitely possible that we'll see it. They think that we'll see it in the next week or so. So I'm excited about that. I would, you know, honestly, I still want to see more improvements as far as speed and especially in Safari. And I know if Jeff were here, he would definitely mention, you know, Safari sucking. So, you know, we definitely want to see that. But I also love the idea of the new podcast and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, if tethering is included, rock on. I'm all for that. So do you guys have anything to talk about? Have anything you want to mention about 2.2 other than I'm excited?
No? We, I'm excited.
Okay. That's what I thought. That's all right. So, yeah, that's all we have to talk about. We don't have a lot to talk about, you know, tonight. We can move on to our iPhone picks. And Bill, you want to start?
I totally don't have one. Really? I am so lame. I can't believe I did that. I'm going to pick every movie that Drew Barrymore has ever been in that's in iTunes. Hang on, I'll find one for you.
Okay, while he's doing that, Victor, do you have an iPhone pick for us?
I do. Something that I just got, maybe it's been covered on your show before, I'm not sure. It's the Richard Solo 1800 battery charger from richardsolo.com.
Yes.
I've had it for 24 hours and used it today, let the battery go down to 10%. So far, so good. There'll be more on a review that I do on this product on my show, so check it out.
Cool. And that's just basically, it's an external battery. It has a laser and an LED light on the bottom of it, and you just plug it into the dock connector, and it's an external battery for your iPhone. So how much is the it's $69.95, right?
$69.95, yeah, for the 1800. They made the 1200 before, but the 1800 almost doubles the capacity. You know, and I mean, it's something I've really been waiting to review because then it's got to be three times a week that I get to that 20% mark. And I don't know about you guys, but once the phone reaches that mark, even if I plug it in in my car, it doesn't seem to charge. And so I don't know why. But this thing, at least in the last 24 hours, you know, it saved me today. I was able to plug it in and continue my phone call, and it charged the phone. So we'll see. There is a couple of Achilles heels that I noticed right out of the gate, but I'll talk more about this.
So that's richardsolo.com, and you can get that there. So Richard Solo, you got the 1800, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, the Richard Solo 1800 at $69.95 from richardsolo.com. Ken, do you have an iPhone pick?
I have a goofy game.
Okay.
It's called Trace. I don't know if you ever talked about it on the show before.
I don't think so.
It's the graphics are really bad, and most of the reviews even say the graphics are really bad, but it's this easy-seeming game when you first start. In fact, when you first play, like, the first three or four levels, you're thinking, why am I even bothering? This is goofy. And then suddenly, it'll throw you a puzzle, a page that's hard to get through. Now, it's kind of like an adventure game, and the graphics really are not much better than, I don't know if you remember, what was that? What was the jungle video game for the Atari 2600? Come on, old guys.
I'm too young.
Pitfall?
Pitfall. Thank you very much. Pitfall. The graphics are not much better than Pitfall.
Okay, great.
Oh, the but old it's... guy? Okay, he must be talking to me.
Well, I figured you were Bill. I mean, you know, I figured between the three of us, we should be able to get it. And way to go, Victor. It's got a cute little control mechanism where, like, you draw the path for the guy to walk on, and there are... It's just Trace, T-R-A-C-E. It is a free game. It is incredibly addictive, and you'll either thank me or want to hit me.
And so, you know, if it's free and it's addicting, you know, graphics can be crappy.
Is it possible we want to do both, thank you and hit you? Is
that- you may well. A lot of people do.
Yeah, that happens at Macworld a lot, doesn't it?
Yes. Oh, golly. Is it time to start talking about that yet?
Yeah, Macworld's coming up. We should mention that. I will be at Macworld as well as Ed Kirk from the site. We'll both be at Macworld, which is, what is it, January 5th?
January 5th through the 9th?
Yeah, something like that. So if you haven't already signed up to go to Macworld, it's awesome. Definitely. If you've never been, it's something to go to. Absolutely. And you'll want to keep going every year like I have been doing. So that's in San Francisco at, I guess, Moscone West and North, right? The Moscone Convention Center. It doesn't matter. You can go to MacworldExpo.com and check that out and buy tickets and figure out how you're going to get there, because you got to go. It's great. It's a great experience. Even if you're a Windows user, you're welcome. Microsoft is there. We don't egg them when they're there. So, yeah, check that out. Yeah, back to our iPhone picks. Omar, do you have an iPhone pick?
Yeah. This is it's a game. Some of you guys might know about it. I know Michael does. It's called Quick Draw. It's currently in beta testing. I've been playing this nonstop in like my breaks at work and other places at home. It's a multiplayer drawing game. So you get a word, you get to draw it out. So like
Pictionary.
Right. That's the game that I was thinking of. I just can't remember the name. So you get a word, let's say it's dog, and you draw a dog, and every other multiplayer that connects over Wi-Fi, 3G, or Edge gets to guess what it is that you're drawing, and you guys alternate. It's fun.
It is a lot of fun. If you've ever played, you know, obviously Pictionary, or, you know, when I saw it, I immediately thought, draw my thing, as far as, you know, for those of you who actually use I'm in Like With You. If you've never used I'm in Like With You, you're thinking, draw my thing. That sounds weird. But yeah, it's great fun. It's in beta, like Omar said.
It's shaping up really well, though.
I've only gotten one of the updates, and I have a lot of suggestions for them. And so, you know, I'm really hard on the developers, and I make them, you know, make good applications. So
fix it.
Yes. All right. So that's Quick Draw, and you can't get it right now because it's in beta. But
you guys can sign up for the beta. It's on. It's on their website, quickdrawapp.com. I don't know if it's filled up yet or not.
It has filled up, I think.
It has? Okay.
Yeah. So, but I think at some point they may be able to add more people if, you know, some of the people haven't been pulling their weight. But, yeah. Mm-hmm. So it'll be out coming to an iPhone soon. Coming to an iPhone near you soon. I messed that up. Anyway, so my iPhone pick, or do we want to go back to Bill? Do you have an iPhone pick, Bill?
Oh, you're just killing me, aren't you? I'm gonna go with Charlie's Angels, starring Drew Barrymore.
Can you rent that, Bill? Do I have to buy that movie?
You can buy it through iTunes. I did see this on a date about 6 years ago. It's not terrible, so I'll go with that. It has an average 5-star rating in iTunes, so it must be good, because nothing ever gets 5 stars in iTunes. And that's my pick. So,
okay.
Now I'm going to go hang my head in shame and cry.
And you have to...
I have a pick for you, Bill. I have a pick for you. Here it is, okay? Yeah, did you pick
it? What was that, Victor?
It was just a little drum intro for him. He needs drums after the show.
All right.
I have a crash. I didn't have a cymbal crash, so there you go.
Yeah. All right.
Ba-dum-bum.
Yep, there you go. So my pick, it's expensive, but it's awesome. It's Jadu VNC. I don't think we've actually talked about this, and I don't know why we haven't, because I love VNC. If you don't know what VNC is, it's basically remote control of your computer. So VNC is the protocol. of how that works. Basically, Jadu VNC is an application for your iPhone that lets you control any Mac or PC or even Linux box that has a VNC server running on it. So when you tap, you know, on the name in your list of computers that you can pick from, you are kind of teleported. It's got a really neat little animation to it, but you're teleported to your screen. You have control over your mouse cursor, the keyboard, basically anything that you can think of. You can grab windows, move them around. You can type on, you know, type in documents. You can surf the web. You can do whatever you want. It's your computer, just, you know, on your iPhone. It kind of differs from any of the other iPhone VNC applications, either on the App Store or the ones that have been, like installer or something like that back in the jailbreak days. Because it's the way you interact with the screen is, as far as moving around, you actually drag your finger around, and what that does is it moves the cursor around for one. But what the application does is it always focuses on your cursor. So wherever you move the cursor, that's where you're seeing. So you move around by moving your cursor around, and so you can actually throw your cursor around and fling it, and it'll actually it has momentum to it. So it's, for the first 2 minutes, it's going to be a little weird getting used to it. But once you do, you realize that this is the perfect way to do, like a VNC app on your iPhone. If you want to just, if you're far away and you have to, kill a song on iTunes or something like that, or, whatever, the uses for this vary heavily depending on the user. And I won't tell you, that there are many reasons why I want the VNC on my iPhone. You can connect to any computer. Any Mac has a VNC server built into it, so you just got to check the box in your system preferences, basically. For Windows, I don't believe there's a built-in VNC server for that, but you can get a free VNC server. And it's great. It's a perfect VNC application. The only thing I would want in it, and I'm going to review this, throw up a review within either tonight or tomorrow, on iPhone Alley. The only thing I really want out of this is the ability to let the auto correction work on this, because it shows what you're actually typing on the screen locally, but it doesn't do the autocorrect. So if you're somewhere else and you're chatting with someone through VNC, for example, it's not going to autocorrect, and you have to be very careful with your keystrokes. So that's the only thing I don't like about it. Other than that, it's great. So I think it's $24, $25, right, Omar?
Yeah, 25.
So it's a really, really expensive application. At some point I bought it. I didn't want to buy it when I first saw it, but it really is worth it. Until there's another application on the App Store that costs less, that does a really, really good job at VNC. There's another VNC app on the App Store. But yeah, the last time I checked it out, it wasn't that great. So it's Jadu VNC, Jaadu VNC, and that's $24.99 in the App Store. And so that is that. Moving on, of course, check out iPhoneAlley.com. You can get more news, tips, and reviews every day. And if you want to share a tip with us, a tip, because we give iPhone tips on the site. If you have a cool tip that you found, something cool you can do with your iPhone, something you discovered, you can click on the contact us link, and we'll put that up there. And if you have a product that you want us to review or an application that you want us to review, you can also use that contact link to let us know what you think we should check out. And right now we have a photo contest going on the site. So if you're a member in the forums, you can sign up if you want. It's totally free. We're giving away a Marware case. This contest was actually started by someone in our forums. So he won the case a while ago with one of our other contests, but he wanted to give the case away to someone else. And so he came up with this photo contest. Basically, you take a photo with your iPhone, so it has to be from your iPhone. That's really the only rule. And then you post up to 5 photos, and then at the end of the contest, we will pick out the finalists, and then everybody in the forums will pick a winner, and whoever wins gets the case. So even if you already have a case that you love, I think this will be a really fun contest to participate in. Because, taking pictures with the iPhone, you can do some really great things with that camera you wouldn't expect. I mean, they've already put up some photos in the forums that are just, you would not believe that they came from an iPhone. But, you know, of course, I'm assuming they did because in the metadata it says iPhone. So, yeah, so check that out. We'll put that in the show notes. And, of course, you can get the show notes at iPhoneAlley.com/podcast. So you get the show notes as well as all of our iPhone picks. So if you think, what was that movie that Bill recommended? You can go there, iPhoneAlley.com/podcast, and, you know, see all of our picks there. And, of course, if you have any feedback for us, you can send an email to podcast@iPhoneAlley.com. And once again, Ken Ray joins us from the macOS Ken podcast. And, of course, macOS Ken Day 6. You can check that out at macosken.com. And he's also on Twitter at twitter.com/macosken. Thanks a lot for being here, Ken.
Thanks a lot, Michael.
And Victor Cahiao is on the Typical Mac User podcast at typicalmacuser.com and, of course, twitter.com/typicalmacuser. Thanks for being here, Victor.
Thank you, Michael.
And Bill Palmer, of course, of iProng Magazine, iProng.com, and twitter.com/Bill Palmer. Thanks for being here, Bill.
Thanks for having me.
And Pilot Omar is, you can find him on twitter.com/Pilot Omar. So, yeah, there you go. And, of course, my Twitter is twitter.com/MichaelJohnston. And, yeah, with that, another episode of the iPhone LA podcast is out the door.
An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. A phone. A phone. A phone. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. A phone. A phone. A phone. And an internet communicator. How are we going to communicate this? We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right? We're going to use a stylus. No. Yuck. No. Yuck, yuck, no. To get them and put them away and you lose them. Yuck, 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 yuck. No. Yuck. No. Yuck, yuck, no. Yuck, 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 yuck. No. Yuck. No. Yuck, yuck, no. No, 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 no. You have to get them and put them away and you lose them. Nobody wants a stylus. So let's not use a stylus. Nobody wants a stylus. So let's not use a stylus. We're going to use the best pointing device in the world. We're going to use a pointing device that we're all born with. We're born with 10 of them. We're going to use our fingers. Our fingers. Our fingers. Our fingers. Our fingers. Yuck. Communicator.